Welcome to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast, a relaxing and informative show where we explore anxiety, panic, and PTSD, sharing how you can overcome them for life.
Aloha! Welcome back to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast. In today's episode, I'm talking about avoidance and aversion and how they don't help with your anxiety. We talk here often about the avoidance part, like don't avoid the things that you are fearing. Don't continually make your life and your world smaller and smaller because it will just keep getting smaller. We do learn to lean in and to not avoid. And I also want to add in there the aversion. We want to be careful of our aversions. That's that really strong dislike or steering clear of, you know, don't, that deep feeling of dislike is actually quite alarming to our system. So that doesn't help with our anxiety either. And we can look at the words fear and anxiety, and we use them, I use them often interchangeably, but in some ways, they can be a little bit different. So I want to look at the difference of that today a little bit and then look at how it all melds together. We typically look at fear as that really concrete fight or flight response that comes up to a very real and present immediate danger. It's very present oriented. We know that it's happening, such as you step off that curb and you all of a sudden see a car speeding around the corner at you, and you just immediately jump up. That was fear that got you to move. And that fear is that surge of panic and that desire to move quickly is for survival. And this is a part of us that we are still living with, that those survival mechanisms that help to keep us physically safe. And we still need them. And so we can have this response, though, to physical threats, but also to social threats. So that can get a little bit more murky. We'll get into that as we go along here. And then anxiety can be seen more, if we wanted to tease it out a little bit more, as a more future-oriented kind of fear. More long range. It isn't happening in the now, but it's something that we are thinking about. And there we go with our mind, right? So that could be the anxiety. Sometimes it's not clear. We feel anxious, right? And we don't quite know what we're anxious about or what it is why we're feeling like this. And the anxiety can also be associated less with an immediate need to respond, but more with a kind of chronic tension or a chronic feeling or that arousal of chronically of those hormones, those stress-related hormones that are raging through our system. And then sometimes these two things work together, right? We can be really anxious and still feel panic and real fear at the same time. So it's not always clear, but we can see, and it's good to know that the fear is often associated with this clear and present immediate safety need, and that the anxiety is more projecting out into the future. But sometimes these fear and anxiety, not only do we use the words interchangeably, but sometimes the feelings are interchangeable and what's happening is all melded together. So it's okay to look at it that way, as long as we can begin to notice which kind of arousal or which kind of trigger we're actually feeling. And so we can think of the different triggers as whether we could call it fear or anxiety, or you could call it a clear signal or a staticky signal or noise. That's a word that can be used also, because static would sound like noise. Or is it noisy and staticky, or is it a clear signal? Now, jumping off the jumping back up onto the curb after you notice out of the corner of your eye a car speeding around the corner, that's a clear signal. There is nothing staticky or noisy about that. It is happening. So that's what it would mean to have a clear signal. It means that we're having the trigger and the feelings and the surge of our stress hormones, and that there really is a danger, and it really does call for some kind of a response from us, an emergency response. Do something now. So if you're having, like I said, you're stepping off the curb and that car is speeding around the corner and you get anxious or you get frightened and that gets you back up on the curb, like I said, that's a clear signal of something happening and that you need to respond. And that is important information that the whole body is getting and reacting to in that immediate moment. It's amazing how quick it happens and that we don't actually even have to be thinking about it. That is the beauty of that whole system, that sympathetic nervous system that can pick up these signals and get us to respond immediately, keeping us safe and out of danger. Now, when there's static or noise or something isn't clear, staticky, you know, in between radio stations, that would be something like you waking in the middle of the night to use the bathroom or roll over, whatever, and all of a sudden you find yourself thinking. Now you're safe, you're in your bed, you're warm and toasty, and you find yourself thinking about your to-do list or this problem at work or the family situation that you are struggling with. And you begin to think of all of the challenges around this and all of the possibilities and things that you need to do about it. Now that is noise. That is static. So it's very important because, and why is that static? Because you're warm and safe in a bed and you're thinking about things in the future. That is not a clear signal that you need to respond and react immediately. So this can be really helpful to start paying attention to, because then you can give yourself permission. You know, I'm always giving you permission to let those future thinkings go, to let them pass by like clouds across the sky, but give yourself permission when you have labeled it, this is noise, this is staticky, this is not something that requires my immediate attention. Because actually we don't think about things well when we're in the middle of the night and it's dark. So you might as well go back to sleep and get some rest. So now we have a little bit of a better idea of the different kind of feelings that we're getting. The feeling is the same, but we can begin to understand, is this noise and static that's going on, or is this clear? Is this a clear and present danger that I need to take care of? So what happens when people are stuck in the anxiety cycle, they tend to relate to the whole thing, the anxiety, as a big, capital B-I-G, problem. And they want these feelings to stop. We deal with this in the group a lot. There is a feeling of, but I felt better yesterday. Why don't I feel better today? I don't want these feelings again. Therein lies the aversion I was talking about. We start giving a little pushback to a tough day or to a regular day, but because it wasn't all sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns, we're giving it some aversion. We're pushing back on it. We don't like it. And that keeps us in a stressed place. So be careful if you are stuck in this anxiety cycle and you're feeling that this whole thing is a great big huge problem and you want it to stop. Just begin to see that clearly and label that as an aversion, because that is not helping you. The thing that we want to keep in mind is that it's not the thing It isn't even the feelings of the anxiety, the rush of the hormones of adrenaline and cortisol and things turned on really fast for us. It's not even that, the feelings or the thing, but it is our interpretation of these things, these feelings, that determines whether or not we will stay in the cycle or whether we can begin finding our way out of it. And so we want to pay attention to the thing and to our interpretation. Look at those clearly. The thing is just is. Our interpretation, we can change. We can look at things differently, and that will help us to begin to not feel so triggered or so aroused. And again, it can just be with the aversion. We can change that. We can say, well, wait a minute. Maybe I can get to a little bit more neutral with how I'm feeling about my anxiety and how long it is taking me to heal and clear this. Maybe I don't have to feel so much aversion toward it, but I can begin to feel a little bit more neutral toward it. And that will take you much further. Because here's a good way to look at it. It's not, this is a really cute way to look at it. It's not only if I think it's a lion, not a beige rock, that I'm going to go into my whole response to it. It's only if I think it's a lion, not a beige rock, that I'm going to go in to my whole triggered response to it. It could be a beige rock, but if we think it's a lion, we're going to have the trigger. We're going to respond in a anxious and fearful manner. And there's no danger. It was our interpretation. So this is very important to remember. And so we get to change that. We get to look at things differently. We can even smile or laugh at ourselves and say, and shake it off at that point and let it go to rest. Oh my gosh, it was just a big rock. Very often, if we have had struggles in the past, if we have had things happen to us and we haven't resolved or integrated all of these things and feel our feelings about what happened, we can experience a lot of very vague stimuli in our lives as more threatening than it is. So this is why we do well when we do go to our journals and begin to process these things and resolve some of our issues and actually be able to see them, get them on paper, and we see them and things can begin to resolve and they can begin to integrate into our lives so we do not have to be fearing them and have so many threatening responses to things going on around us. And I know if you are struggling in the anxiety cycle right now, you do want it to go away. You do not want to have another bad day. But I want you to try to go to neutral again around both of these. Don't attach to, I want it to be gone now, and when is it going to be gone now, and the aversion of trying to push away any tough days or challenges that come up. It takes time, and the more you can be in neutral and understanding about it, the more easeful and gracefully you will get through this. Anxiety is unpleasant, and it has, if it hadn't been unpleasant, it wouldn't have worked for us. It wouldn't have helped us survive. Like I talked about earlier, stepping off the curb, you want to be able to have this system in you working, this sympathetic nervous system working, that part of you, because this is what has helped us to evolve and survive, and it will keep you alive even today. So don't look at it as such a negative. It's part of our system. We just have to watch how we're looking at it, how we're interpreting everything, and actually, like I said, go to more neutral around it. One of the other ways that our anxiety has helped us in the past is that it helps us to avoid the things that have caused us unpleasant feelings in the past. And so it It's like the snake, right? If you were bit by a snake, you have unpleasant feelings about that, or the stories even you've been told about people who have been bit by snakes, so you kind of avoid it, right? It's like, and that's kind of a good thing. It's a survival thing. So when we feel anxious near something that looks like a snake, right, the coiled up rope, that's going to help us keep away from snakes, and it actually does serve us as an adaptive function to keep us away from poisonous snakes. Now, anything, of course, can be taken to extremes, or we can, you know, we can misinterpret things here and there, but for the most part, this helps to keep us alive. And so we don't want to look at those scary feelings that come up, or the anxiety or fear, as negatives. They just are. They're a part of the human condition, and they are part of what has helped us to evolve this far along. We've actually been hardwired to experience the triggered feelings of anxiety as an aversive feeling and as something that we really don't want to continually be experiencing. So I understand how you feel and that you do want to make it go away. Now, many people want to make it go away really fast, right? Many people come and they talk to me, or they come in the group and they want something, whether it be a drug or a natural remedy, to make the anxiety stop. And they want it to stop medicinally, right? They want it, take something to make it go away. Or they may want to learn some kind of coping strategy that's going to help them relax and calm down. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to learn to relax and calm down, or the desire to make this feeling that you're having, this, it feels so off and wrong, it feels like you need to medicinally deal with it. There's nothing wrong with that. And there is value in being able to do that. We talk here all the time about ways that we can learn to relax and calm our nervous system. And there is value in doing those things sometimes. And I want you to understand that that's all you ever did, that would tend to be a temporary fix. It would not be getting out of the anxiety cycle. It would just be a temporary fix. So, and that comes at a cost, because what happens is you reinforce the idea of getting rid of the anxiety and the feeling that you have, and that is what you're actually doing. Your goal is to just get rid of it, right? Well, that feeling of wanting to get rid of it, again, is that aversion. It's like pushing against it. And the reason that doesn't work is because it is keeping you with that feeling of aversion in a state of arousal. You are already triggered just by having that thought of, I've got to get rid of this. What is much more important, and the goal of healing and clearing your anxiety, is to be able to accept the experience of being triggered here and there in life, because that's going to happen, and that arousal feeling, and to not panic with it. Don't add with aversion and negative responses to the experience of the arousal and keep the cycle going. Because remember, I've told you that after you can register safety in your mind and body, it is 90 seconds and your body will stop putting out the stress hormones at the level that it needed to get you to respond, so you can begin to calm down naturally. You don't even need to do anything but register safety. So that's what we want to do. We want to stop adding with our aversion and accept the experience that we've been triggered. It's okay, whether it was socially, environmentally, whatever, you were triggered. It's okay. It's okay. And we want to learn how to avoid avoidance, right? I've talked about that over and over in different ways, that to avoid this natural tendency to get rid of what's uncomfortable. We want to avoid that. We don't like it, but we can learn to accept it because the avoidance only keeps us in the cycle. Ron Siegel gives a great example of this trying to get away and the aversion of and how it can dig us in deeper. He talks about having one of the Chinese finger traps, the little game we used to play. We'd put it on our finger, one on each hand, or they also call it finger handcuffs. And then when you try to pull your fingers out to take it off, the harder you pull, the tighter it grips. And this is how many of our mental processes work. We are trying so hard to get out that we're just tightening the grip. So maybe that's a visual you can use. You can picture yourself pulling your fingers apart with that those Chinese finger traps on there and say to yourself, wait a minute, I'm struggling. I'm pulling too hard. Let me relax. It really is when we're no longer trying to fix this anxiety issue and work our way out of it now that the problem tends to relax and begin to go away. Nothing wrong, like I said, about learning how to calm your nervous system. Many of us need to do that in this culture where we don't know how to do it anymore. We don't fall into it naturally. So do arm yourself with some great information and education and learn how to take care of your nervous system. But don't try to fix this in a way that is a struggle. This is an issue that the more calm and relaxed we are as we are going through it, the more quickly and easily we will move through it. I hope this show has been helpful for you, and I look forward to talking with you in a few more days. And now for today's quote. Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood. And that's from Marie Curie. I'll be back in a few more days with another podcast. Until then, be well and aloha.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's episode of the Anxiety Coaches Podcast. Find more information at theanxietycoachespodcast.com.